live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 165. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined, as always, by my man here. Let's see if we can get him in. Jonathan Birdsong, JB. Been 2 days, my man. What a world of action has happened.
Man, you thought we weren't going to have a whole lot to talk about tonight, and here we are, man. Before I get into that, and I know you want to run down what we're going to talk about tonight, man. I got out today, man. It finally got to be a nice day here in Circle City, man. And got to go, you know what I'm saying, walking around in some parks and whatnot, man. So, because, you know, after hearing what happened between Kwame Brown and another podcast that we won't, you know, mention or whatnot, man, there needs to be more calm and peace in the world, for sure.
Kwame's fired up, isn't he?
Man, he's at everybody. I mean, it's kind of rightfully so. If you kind of think about it, man.
There's a lot of people dragging his name in the mud.
Yeah, he's been the butt of a joke since ESPN, you know what I mean, since Stephen A. and Skip Bayless was on ESPN. You know what I mean?
He said he got to slap the toupee off his head.
Oh, man. Damn, he's telling, you know what I'm saying, the behind-the-scenes stuff, man. I think, you know, I know we're going to kind of talk about it tonight a little bit, but like I said, man, I think he's just kind of tired of being the butt of a joke. And anybody who's ever been a quote-unquote draft bust, whether you're Kwame Brown or Michael Olconde or Anthony Bennett, somebody else who kind of had John Konkak, you know, since today, was, you know, the last couple of days has been your day to kind of shine.
Greg Oden.
Kwame Brown. Yeah, oh, man, yeah, Greg Oden. Yeah. Kwame, this is the day for you to kind of stand up, man, because Kwame Brown, he's not here to, you know what I'm saying? he made sense of it. He really did make sense of it, man, because again, man, and I know you, again, I know you want to run it down the show. Again, man, he played 12 and a half years, 13 years in the league, man. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily speak about to the position that he got drafted at. Yeah, he was number one overall, right? But, you know, busts usually don't make it past, you know, 3 or 4 seasons. So, I don't know.
Right.
I'm coming in hot, man. And that was kind of, I know that's on everybody's mind. Everybody's kind of talking about it. But I know, and like I said, I know we'll expand on a little bit more, man. But please, 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 Brandon.
Yeah, I know. Brandon, I was curious what your thought of that was, because when I saw that, I said, uh-oh, Kwame a little upset up there in Portland or wherever he's at, Seattle, whatever. He said, I saw very little of what he said. I think he said something about Matt Barnes. Was it Matt Barnes he was talking about?
Well, like Steven, Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes, and Gilbert Arenas have a podcast. It's not better than ours. I smoke a lot of pot. I don't know what it's called. You know what I'm saying? They want to call in, they can. But
yeah, what'd he say? He called them like a bunch of like fake black guys. Is that what he called? I think he called them. I saw.
Yeah, he called them a lot. There's a lot of things that they were kind of, you know, transpired and went back and forth, man. It's almost akin to, you know, I know you might remember a little bit. You probably were in high school when 50 Cent and Ja Rule had back and forth on the radio. During that time,
oh, yeah.
But like, yeah, man, like, you know, it kind of spilled a whole lot of personal stuff. You know what I'm saying? About Steven Jackson and what we know about Matt Barnes and Derek Fisher. some of those TMZ or National Enquirer type of headlines kind of got spilled over into these guys. Conversational beef, but I don't know. Like I said, man, I don't want to expand on it right now. I know we got a ton of other things to kind of chime in about. We got a great, you know what I mean, whether it's the Pacers or what's kind of going on with the PGA going this particular week. So please, Brandon, like I said, please give us a rundown.
Yeah, we've got a little less than an hour tonight's show. We've got to talk a little bit about the Pacers tonight or last night and their total thrashing of the Charlotte Hornets or the Bobcats.
You want to call them Bobcats.
They deserve to be the Bobcats. After last night, the Hornets got sprayed by the Pacers last night. They got sprayed by all the three-pointers that the Pacers made. So we've got Pacers and Wizards tomorrow night. Last time the Pacers and Wizards played, the Pacers scored 144 points, and they got beat. And they got beat by double digits. So we'll see what happens this time up against the Wiz. We've got that to talk about. Major League Baseball, I just want to dive into some of baseball's unwritten rules and some of the BS that's came up recently with the Chicago White Sox. They may be the world's best dysfunctional team in baseball, by the way. Tony La Russa or the players. So we'll dive into that action. Indy 500, day number two practice going on currently still. They got 10 minutes left to practice today. Shocker, call me if it's a shock or not, Scott Dixon, top of the speed charts, 226.829 miles an hour. Indiana's own Connor Daly and Ed Carpenter are second and third today in practice. Day three of practice tomorrow before they get to Fast Friday and qualifications this weekend for the running of the Indy 500 here in just a little over a week. We've got the PGA Championship coming on starting tomorrow. I've got my pick, who I think will win, who I put some money down on. This guy has been hot. He was hot last year during the COVID, and he's also played very, very well. He's very confident in himself. I heard a couple interviews with him this week, so I've got my pick for that. We'll take a little bit of your calls. We have some time and go from there. So, John, let's dive right in. Indiana Pacers, thumping. They hit umpteen amount of three-pointers last night against the Charlotte Hornets. Brogdon really didn't need to play too much, which was perfect. He could go back to the bench. Brissett showed up. These guys off the bench hitting threes. Doug McDermott playing for a contract. T.J. McConnell playing for a contract. They showed up. John, oh my. I easily won my bets last night with the Pacers.
Yeah, a bit of a kick in the nads. Because Caris LeVert has to go through basically COVID contract tracing, so he's going to have to sit out. Had to sit out last night. Potentially probably going to have to sit out tomorrow night's game as well. And then we kind of see if the Pacers going to, you know what I'm saying, beat Washington without him. What that looks like going into the playoffs, man. But like now, man, kind of going in, and then there was also question marks with even Sabonis. Here's what I say, man. Like you kind of alluded to, man. You know what I'm saying? The two contract guys played excellent in T.J. McConnell and McBuckets, man. So again, you can, and then it wasn't just the regular McBuckets we kind of seen where, you know what I'm saying, they want him to go to one side of the court and be a 3-point shooter, man. This dude, I believe, was kind of he was scoring from everywhere. It kind of reminded you of Gordon Hayward last night, you know what I mean? So, I feel like he kind of took the wind out of the Hornets' sails early. He was, you know, him being one of the main catalysts. You know, so,
yeah. Didn't the Hornets look dysfunctional? That was kind of weird for them. They just looked like completely they were out of it from the beginning, and that's concerning with it being a playoff-like game.
It's weird because they coming in on a 5-game losing streak, but they've been a team that, you know, like I said, they beat the Pacers 2-1 on the last show. They beat the Pacers, you know, the three times they faced the Pacers, they beat them 2-1. Now, albeit that was with they had their full arsenal as well, a host of players as well. I do believe the only person that didn't play those other games was maybe Gordon Hayward, but outside of that, it didn't look like they were playoff ready, or it looked like they just wanted to, you know, start the vacation early, start to go to fishing trips early. So, regardless of all that, we got to see O'Shea Brissett, what he's all about. Well, so we've seen flashes of good play. He's actually been a guy that, regardless of the injuries, he's taken advantage of his time and play. He doesn't necessarily always put up a great defensive effort or anything like that, but offensively, he was right there last night contributing. So yeah, no man, they got you know what I'm saying, pretty good, great intensity, and like I mean, I know me and you kind of talked about it off the air about them kind of letting the gas off the put off the pedal in the fourth quarter, and even with the Hornets scoring like 38 or 39 points in the fourth quarter, it still was like null and void, it didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? The Pacers was in control of that thing from the jump. So I don't know how you feel about Pacers versus Wizards in a pissed off. He has to be pissed off because they were in a control of Boston. They were in control of that game. I feel like to the later part of the third quarter, the Wizards were.
They didn't show up in the second half. Like the whole different team came out of the locker room.
Yeah, Otto.
And
Otto
what was
know,
up
man.
With Westbrook? He left with like 6 minutes to go.
Yeah, it's weird. It's I don't know. He's an emotional kind of guy. I can't. And yeah, because they shot terrible from three, they as well. And they're not necessarily known for a great 3-point marksman type of group. But you know, so they shot terrible. I think they shot two for nine, or maybe even two. It might be 2 for 19. I can't remember. I know they only hit 3 corners the whole game. And that is
that Beatriz guy is terrible. He needs to quit shooting.
Well, you know, hey, like, man, he's in the NBA, man.
Like, I don't know why you would pick him up. I've never thought he was good.
Right.
Role player. I would rather have Doug McDermott's dad play than this guy on my team. It's just that these. I know. Well, here's the thing. Is it good for the Pacers that they're playing the Wizards over the Celtics? Probably not. Celtics have been horrific at home this year, and Pacers might have been able to catch them on that slide if that was the case. But also, there's a opportunity for Indiana now going. It has to go to Washington, where Washington is pissed off.
Right.
There's no way the Pacers are going to shoot the way they shot last night. It's just not going to happen. I'm nervous about the level of regression that we're going to see tomorrow.
If you can get the best of Bonus, the best version of the Bonus, you know what, Brandon? I kind of know what Nate Bjorkgren wants to do offensively. He wants to. He probably wishes he had A-level type of guard play and A-level type of big man play, meaning that. On offense, they knew what they want. They know what they want to run, and there's no kind of question about you know what I'm saying. They you know what I mean, where you don't waste a possession, whether you know what I'm saying it's a two or three or a turnover. They know what they want to run. Obviously, that doesn't happen with this particular group. Sabonis, though he's been basically a walking triple double this past month or so. He does turn the ball over just a little bit too much, even for a big man. You know what I'm saying? I think he averaged like three turnovers, maybe three or four turnovers a game. You know what I'm saying? But, hell, if you're telling me that he upped his ante of assists, which he did over the course of 2 years, from like 2.4 to like – I think he averaged like six or seven now. Oh, my goodness. I mean, he's doing this with basically bench players because all the starters are gone. Lamb ain't there. You know what I'm saying? Miles Turner ain't there. He's playing with role players. You know what I'm saying? Really, like guys who would be the seventh, eighth guy off the bench, you know? So I say all this, if you can get the best version of Sabonis, then I think we got a shot because I don't. Again, the you talk about who ain't gonna shoot like that. You're right about the Pacers not gonna maybe shoot like they shot against Charlotte. But I think the Hornets are on a Brick City themselves. tour themselves with what they kind of put up. So he's obviously our main mismatch that we have kind of going for us. So I would milk it. I would milk that cow as much as we could.
Okay. Same rules like you said. No LeVert, no Warren, no Turner. Tomorrow, Brogdon is questionable. Sumner is questionable. We will have some bonus. So we'll see what happens. These guys are playing with house money. I will tell you this, John, just based on all the drama that we've had, just watching the press conference with Nate Bjorkgren, I don't know. I just can't trust a word that the guy says now in any press conference based on what came out. Like, he can sit there and talk and talk, and I have no faith or trust level in him whatsoever. I think it's two-faced based off of the reports we've had. I don't know if I'm going to be able to change that ever. It's just I can't get over it. I can't invest in anything that he is saying as a head coach. I just can't.
The one, like I said, he wants to play as fast as like a Dan Toney system, but he wants to basically I know this is going to be sound dumb. He wants to basically outscore the opposition the other team. Okay? But you have to kind of take it in fact like who you have on your team. And he doesn't necessarily play up to that. He wants to stick to his system. Brichette's been a good guy that he brought in from the G Leagues of Toronto, and I think he even played a couple G Leagues with the Mad Ants up in Fort Wayne or whatnot. But that's one of his system kind of guys that he wants to utilize. And like I said, he took advantage of it. We got better effort from pretty much everybody last night. When I think about the block that Goga had. My goodness, though, the little holiday, not still struggle for him offensively. And I'm trying to think who else kind of wet the bed there. I don't want to focus on all the poor, the Patriots kind of put up. But holiday can use a shot here and there to fall for him for sure. But like I said, Brandon, I don't, not playing Washington, the Washington Wizards is pretty good the last couple of times. Yeah, it doesn't bode well. But think about how people kind of felt today when I listened to the radio, and even how you personally might have felt about a Pacers win versus like what it could have been, a loss if they hadn't won the game. So I give them a shot. And I mean, I know you ain't necessarily asked for my prediction yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna ride with the Pacers just because I think Sabonis wants to keep on playing. That's what I'm putting it on. Sabonis.
Didn't he look great last night that there just wasn't no calls for him? Like, he, as physical as he is, like, I mean, there was plenty of times I thought that the referees just swallowed their whistle for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think he's overmatched with that particular team's front line. He's more skilled than anybody that they have. But yeah, you still, that doesn't make sense why the refs would have want to, you know what I'm saying, eat their whistle or whatever. I get it that the Hornets are outmatched and outclassed and, you know what I'm saying, all those things in last night's game. But if it's a foul, you know, in game one, it should be a foul in this playing game as well, man. You know, it's kind of good, but around the league, he's kind of, you know what I'm saying, they say he's kind of been, he kind of, you know, gruffs, you know what I'm saying, not getting whistles and not getting calls, man. But, you know, I don't know, Brandon. That kind of points back to the coach, man. What is the coach doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, the coach got to say something, too. You know what I mean? Even if he takes a little
right.
tech. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Right, the right kind of tech. Now, don't take a tech in the fourth quarter when the game is, you know, staying tight or anything like that. But even if you take it back, because you got to, you know what I'm saying, this dude, regardless of anybody thinks, man, and I've argued with people, and they hit me with the plus-minus report, and, you know what I'm saying, folks think he needs to be traded. And I'm like, man, why would you trade a walking, talking, triple-double machine? And, you know what I'm saying, we're not playing. Again, we're not comparing him. I did a couple weeks ago. I could compare his numbers to Jokic, and those are still miles apart. But, damn, and you kind of chimed in with me. Who does Jokic play with versus who does he play with? Jokic is playing with all-star and all-caliber all-stars and number one draft picks, that, you know what I mean, Michael Porter
right.
Jr. And Jamal Murray. And, shoot, I wish we could put tie two players together and make them Jamal Murray here in Pacer land. But I don't know, man. I'm taking the Pacers in a close one.
Okay. I'm going to roll with the Pacers as well in this one. Why not now? Why not get a win? But we'll see how bad they want to continue their season. And from there, John, I just a little behind the curtain here. I just sent you a picture because it's all over Twitter right now. Twitter's blowing up currently.
Yeah.
But former Purdue star, former Homestead Purdue star, and NBA player for the Portland Trailblazers, Caleb Swanigan. John, he got busted back in Indiana last year or so with marijuana and drugs and all this paraphernalia, whatever. So he was in a courtroom yesterday to plead guilty for these charges. John, Caleb Swanigan's over 400 pounds now.
That's crazy.
You can't recognize him. He has completely looked like his old high school self now, back when before that. And I just saw C.J. McCollum and Dame Lillard, and them were putting some messages out on Twitter a few minutes ago regarding it and everything. But wow. I was shocked when I just saw that.
Sometimes, man, guys are grown, and they got their whole mind made up in their mind about what they want to do and how they want to do it. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't have left Purdue early or whatever, but sometimes you might need to take one of those Purdue guys with you for a couple of years, man, to kind of help you navigate through some of the things that kind of happen when you go from, you know what I'm saying, a scholarship kind of guy to, like, here's $1 million contract, and now you kind of got to manage your own stuff. I know it's weird that you got to say, I got to manage a grown person, but there's a lot of things that kind of come at you when you become an NBA player. So I'm glad to see C.J. McCollum and Lillard, two former teammates of his, have kind of reached out to him and given him their support, you know what I'm saying, even on the social media front. I would also hope, I haven't talked to anybody, or I haven't, you know what I'm saying, we have great ties here on this show with our friends of the program, Coach Brandon Bradley down in Purdue, and even Painter. I would hope that, you know what I'm saying, they've sent out some concern for him as well, man, because that was kind of the one thing going into Purdue that they kind of helped him manage. They helped him manage his weight. They helped him manage his temperament. And I'm not saying he's bad. I mean, I haven't heard nothing bad about Caleb Swanigan, to be honest with you, other than, you know what I'm saying, this marijuana deal. And hell, is that really bad, where marijuana in 2-3 years is going to be illegal everywhere? You know what I'm saying? I mean, elite, right. You know what I mean? But I guess, you know what I'm saying, you walk around with that much bud, I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I don't think you're going to smoke that much bud, you know what I mean? But to be honest with you, man, like, I do hope that, overweight, is a form of, you know what I'm saying, is a form of depression. It can be. The NBA has a great fraternity. Remember when they reached out, folks reached out to the Dante West and all his troubles and whatnot. I hope the same fraternity kind of reaches out to Caleb Swanigan.
Yeah, absolutely. So just saw that. Flipping it over to the Western Conference tonight, we have Spurs and Grizzlies starting here in about 40 minutes. The snooze fest, so get your naps in early if you're going to stay up late. Get that game in. I like Memphis in this game. Memphis right now is a 5-point favorite. I like them to win this game. I said yesterday or 2 days ago, I think John Morant, boom, definitely come out with a 40-burger in this game, put his stamp on, and finally just put a kill shot into the San Antonio Spurs and the Popovich era that they have. I can see Pop retiring at the end of this run. I don't see he has any purpose left to coach this program. If he wants to retire or take off and coach another team in a year or two or whatever. So I like that. Looking at the other one, the late one tonight, I'm going to watch. Thank God I'm going into work a little bit later tomorrow to watch this one. Lakers, Warriors, playoff game atmosphere here. Draymond, Curry, Oubre against LeBron, AD, Jonathan's favorite, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. We've got that matchup tonight. Lakers, I won't say it's a must-win, John, but it's kind of a must-win because you don't want to go to that 8 seed and where you have to have one more do-or-die game against these two. But I still think both teams, Warriors and Lakers, both get in tonight. I think Lakers win tonight probably pretty easily. I think by 11, 12 points in the end.
Yeah, they have a sizable advantage on the boards, either between Andre Drummond or Anthony Davis. I get it. There's probably nobody on the even LeBron. I know. Don't lose this, America. Even LeBron probably can't outscore shot bucket for bucket Steph Curry. But again, Steph Curry going against, you know what I'm saying, what the Lakers can throw at you. That might be even a little bit too much for him. I think they'll go down trying. They'll go down fighting. You know what I'm saying, for sure.
Right.
But the secondary the secondary players that they have just don't match up with the Lakers very well. So I kind of like your prediction of a double digit score of a double digit win for sure. But on the flip side, I think we're also going to get the best. San Antonio ain't gonna go down like no chumps now. You know, they ain't gonna go down like no chumps now. Now I know, you know, saying to paraphrase our, the great Rick Pitino, you know, Tim Duncan and Monty Jumbe walked through that door. You know what I mean? But they are a very professional basketball team that prides itself on winning, regardless of who whatever names is on the back of the jersey. And they do have a guy in DeMar Rosen that is trying to put his resume out there. As far, he's not going to resign with the Spurs, but he is also trying to put his name out there as far as like what can be. What, I mean, the more tape you have, and the longer you can play in this playoffs or to play in whatever, is the better he'll have to his argument point, whether he ends up in Miami or somewhere in New York or wherever. You know what I mean? So I think, you know what I'm saying, and then that's a young crew over in Memphis as well. You know what I'm saying? I would say the crew over in Memphis is a little bit more talented all around. So I think we're going to have a very competitive game. I still wouldn't put the dirt on the San Antonio Spurs just yet. So I'm going to go the other way. I know I said on last week's – I know I said on the show the other day that I thought Memphis was going to win. I'm going to go the other route. And I think the Spurs keep on moving and – you know, make the playoffs this year. Win the playoff game against Memphis and make the playoffs.
Okay. Real quick, Indiana Pacers' Miles Turner wins the block shot title, season title over Utah's Rudy Gobert per an established exception to the NBA rule. The NBA said today that Turner will be recognized as a winner in that category, even though he did not play the required 70% of the games that are needed for some way to qualify. Turner averaged 3.4 blocks per game in 47 games. Gobert averaged 2.7 in 71 games. By the rule, Turner would have needed to appear in 51 games to qualify for the award. He fell four games short. But had Turner played in those four games to reach the minimum, but had not blocked a single shot, he would have still averaged 3.1, still well ahead of Gobert's average. That way they went ahead and gave the award to Turner. So well done, Miles, to get the blocks title this year. At least you've done something besides paint the city Mountain Dew green for Miles Turner Day or whatever that was that the mayor decided to do. I'm going to bring on our number one caller, D-Cop. What's going on, my guy?
Hey, man, back to back, man. What is this? I love it, man.
We had to sneak it in tonight.
Good stuff, man. Hey, real quick on the predictions. I'm saying Memphis tonight over San Antonio in a close one, and I think the Lakers by 10 over Golden State. Golden State has run their deal. They've had a great last 10 to 15 games, which is a great testament to the work ethic they've got, the coaching. But, however, they're running into the Lakers and LeBron, man, and those guys are ready. They've been faking injuries like they're hurting and everything. They're 100%. They're ready to roll. I think they're going to blow them out tonight. I absolutely do. So that's my prediction on that. But that's kind of secondary for me. I want to talk about the boys in blue and gold. And if we can shoot like that the next 20 games, we'll win the title, but that ain't gonna happen. Everything that they had so many clean looks, and the reason why I feel like they had so many clean looks in that beginning of the second quarter when the Pacers went up about 21, and Carolina came back within 14, we came back with Holiday a three. I forget who else hit a three, and Sabonis hit a bucket to put us back up over 20 again. I think the game was over at that point. If you take a look at the Charlotte players, shoulder slumped, finger pointing, three-point shots and 5 seconds into the shot clock, I think they gave up. And they don't have the mental capacity to come back and fight like that because, they haven't had to fight like that. But, two, they don't have an established leader on that team. Their veteran is the kid from IU, but he's their fifth best player. So I don't think they had the makeup to be able to come back And when they called that timeout, they're high-fiving the coaches. They did the coach mic'd up. Coach, he says, don't worry, we got this. You know, we're going to get back. No, you're not. Those guys didn't look like they wanted to be there in Banker's life at all last night after that second quarter run. That's my thought on that.
Yeah, and I was happy the fact that besides my bets I made, DeCott, that we actually showed up on a national televised game where the entire eyes were on Indianapolis last night.
Yeah.
Normally we piss
yeah,
the bed
I
in those situations.
I loved it, man. And when Charlotte pulled it to within 14, I said, "Oh shoot, here we go." Right, but then we hit that back-to-back.
That's what John texted me.
Yeah, I'm serious, man.
John said no fourth quarters.
I said, what I did, and I'll be honest with you, I turned the TV off, man. I turned the TV off, and I went upstairs and did something else because I didn't want to see come back. I was thinking, man, I don't want to give my boys bad luck. So I turned it back on after the fact. I said, okay, we got this. So, yeah, so that was a good win, man. The thing is, the kid from Butler was really confident last night. Man, he's sitting there, you know, posing after shots. Listen, man, we're still an under 500 team that isn't expected to do much. So we got to pump our brakes a little bit on that. And not the old act like you've been there before stuff, but just be a little bit more humble because your next opponent won't be as easy as last night's opponent.
Right. John?
I totally agree with you on everything you said except for the Memphis and San Antonio prediction. I like what the Pacers put together last night. There's no way you couldn't. Can they bring some of that magic carry over? The matchup is going to be a little bit different. I still think they have the matchup monster for them would be to milk Sabonis and all night. Hopefully they learn something from the last couple games they played against the Wizards, and they got to contain, even if you have to foul them, contain Westbrook. Contain Westbrook at all costs. And then they'll win the game.
Well, we'll see what happens. We know it's going to be a high-scoring game. We know that.
Yep.
You know, so we'll see where it goes. What time is that game scheduled?
8:00 tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. Well, I will be right in front of the TV checking it out, man. Again, love the show, fellas. I'll definitely listen for a little while. I got a little outing with some of my employees, but I'm going to listen for a little bit. And you guys have a good evening, man, and I'll be in touch with you all sooner rather than later.
Perfect. Thanks, DeCott. All right, that's DeCott, number one caller, Crossroads Sports Radio. Hey, you got to sometimes. Got to call a spade a spade. Let's see. We're going to flip over to you next. Baseball, John. I want to talk baseball real quick.
I'm at Niles in baseball.
The other night, Tony La Russa, Chicago White Sox, I forget who they were playing even that night. Was up. They were the Twins. They were up 15-4 or whatever on the Twins. They put a positional player in to pitch, and then it was a 3-0 count. Next thing you know, the dude swung on a 3-0 count and jacked it for a home run. Tony La Russa had some comments that were not so good about his own player, kind of bashed his own player, and said, well, there's
no consequence for that
behind the scenes, which we thought would be just, you know, they're going to throw at him and whatnot, obviously, and they did the next game. But he also kind of threw the player under the bus, something to that nature, and he shouldn't be doing that, but, you know, his teammates, though, on Twitter said, hey, don't get down, kid. You did what you're supposed to do. The game wasn't over, yada, yada, yada. Unwritten rules in baseball have been something that people have
talked about for years
on different things to do, if you like it, if you don't like it, if they should, people get bucked. If you don't want to kid, my opinion, John, if you don't want the guy to hit a home run, then damn it, don't throw it right down the middle for a home run. All right? That's what we're out here to do is play baseball to win the game. And do whatever. If you throw a caution down the middle, guess what? It's probably going to get blasted. So I don't have a problem with it. I think Tony La Russa's lost this team with his old age. You know, this is also the same Tony La Russa that said he never saw Mark McGuire do steroids in his life. So Hey, remember that. This is the same guy. But I don't have a problem whatsoever with him hitting that home run and deciding to go for it. And La Russa, seems like there's a disconnect between him and his players. But this White Sox is playing well. That's the thing. They're playing well.
Brandon, they're seemingly like a disconnect. He is old school baseball. And I think baseball as a whole likes to be old school, but the way people view sports in America now, it has to evolve. It should evolve. You know what I mean? And it's not going fast enough for some folks. That's why they're thinking about tinkering around with moving players and on base and whatnot, and tinkering around with bringing some of those what consider wacky ideas that they're kind of running in the minors up to, you know what I'm saying, faster pitches and or moving the mound closer to get more points. Or whatever little, you know, things that they can do to get more viewership. You know what I mean? I don't know, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? You can't knock what some of the things that he's implemented. You know what I mean? Especially the White Sox are trying to get back to playoffs and name notoriety. They've kind of been either average or below average in the last couple of seasons since the how long has that been? Since the World Series run from several years ago. So, you know what I'm saying? Bringing La Russa in, he comes with a lot of history. You know what I'm saying? Wherever he's been successful at.
Right.
But, you know, that unwritten rule, you know, we're gonna start looking at some of those. You know, that's what's gonna happen because the game has not evolved from 1977 when I first kind of got introduced to it. You know what I'm saying? They still do some of the same
right.
little quirky little thing. Hell, Brandon, we're still talking about Hall of Famers not in, and they have, you know what I'm saying, they got records that still, like, talking about Pete Rose, they still have records to the day that ain't nobody broke. But because of some sticking point, and I don't even know why that is, but some sticking point, like, yeah, under those unwritten rules of baseball need to evolve for sure.
Okay. Moving ahead. John, the PGA Championship this weekend at the coastal course down at Kiawah Island, the ocean course down in South Carolina. The favorite right now is Rory McIlroy, but from what I've heard today, do not put Rory on your card. He did win this tournament in 2012. He did win here previously in 2012, but he said it's a completely different course today than what it was. And from what I heard, he wasn't hitting his irons very well today in practice for this type of course. So, the golf second major gets underway tomorrow morning. And I like a guy, John, that's not really what on everybody's radar per se. It's not a big name that you would expect. But I'm going to go with Daniel Berger to win his first major this weekend.
Okay.
Daniel Berger played well the last couple of weeks. He's coming in striking the ball. Remember, he once won a couple of tournaments this past year during COVID. But Daniel Berger keeps moving up the charts, and he actually is probably one of the favorites to play here, to win here this week.
I don't think that's too crazy, man. Daniel Berger's like top two for this season of golf. He's like top 20 in total driving, something like that. Kind of avoid it if anybody kind of watches, he avoided the bogey, and then obviously that's a big thing. I wouldn't be mad at that prediction. I know you saying put some money on Daniel Berger. It's my man, Colin. He won last year. Colin Murakawa, he won this tournament last year. I don't think he made the field for this one though. I'm not sure. I haven't seen all the golfers.
Who are we looking for?
Colin Murakawa. He won this tournament last year.
He's in it.
Okay. Well, I he hasn't necessarily been the hottest golfer this particular season. After kind of becoming at least in my wheelhouse a household name, but Daniel Berger, yeah, top, yeah. I can't shade that at all.
Yeah, I like Berger to do well here. I'm trying to see when our boy tees off tomorrow. I wouldn't see why Morikawa would not be in this. Ricky Fowler is back after missing the Masters for not qualifying. He tees off at 7:30 tomorrow morning. another one I like. I like Keegan Bradley to do well this weekend. 8:33, we have a power lineup of Rory, Justin Thomas, and Brooks Koepka. At 8:44, 4 minutes later, we've got Morikawa, Bryson DeChambeau, and Hideki Matsuyama. John, here's a little quirky golf rule. So the PGA Tour does not allow rangefinders for their tournaments. The PGA Tour does not. The PGA Championship is allowing rangefinders for the draw golfers to use. I just heard that today. I didn't know there was a difference between the PGA Tour and the PGA Championship. But they're allowing rangefinders. I guess it's just like the Masters tournament does not allow people to have green books to see the layouts of the green and to write kind of the angulation of the greens and stuff. They don't allow that for the golfers or caddies. So something else I learned today. And Tony Finau was a name that everybody kind of thought, hey, this guy's due for a win. He's going to do great. Finau just found out about 4 hours ago that you can have a rangefinder, so he had no clue about that rule either. so that was something. It'll be interesting to see. Go ahead.
The only other name I would kind of throw out there, Brandon, would be maybe John Rahm. I know he won that Masters, and he's not necessarily. I don't think he's necessarily won anything big since then. I mean, what's bigger than the Masters, right? But he has, like, I do believe 10 or 9 top 10 finishes this year. So I think he might be about due for, you know what I mean? So that's another golfer we might have to, you know what I'm saying, kind of put in our wheelhouse, but at least for this tournament. Cause
yeah.
He always shows up for big tournaments, and this is a big one. So, you know, and like I said, he hasn't shown proof since the Masters, so why not him?
Yep, I agree with that. Two others I like, Sam Burns. Sam Burns has done really well these past 3 months or so, playing very well, great golf. Sam Burns is one that I can see him coming up here winning. He hasn't won this. He's won one or two tournaments this year, but young kid, see him winning. Another one I like, John, I'm going to go with possibly Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth can come up there and get his get himself a second win. He won a couple weeks ago. Spieth plays this course very well. So if I had to give you two guys I really, really like here, Jordan Spieth, Daniel Berger, those would be my top two guys. We'll see how DJ does. DJ's kind of got that Masters slump. After that win at the Masters, he's kind of at a lull since he's won that last November.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens there. John, I've got AEW today. AEW talk, they're adding a second show here soon. I think it was Rampage, I think I heard today. It'll be added. And then they're also going to be moving from TNT to TBS due to the National Hockey League going to TNT next season.
Okay. Well, you know what? A friend of the program said he was going to call in today. I think he might have heard your comments about the Detroit Lions. Fred Feller from the KFA Finesse. I know. He wasn't talking about some other things, but he might chime in tonight before we get off the air. I need to catch up on a lot of professional wrestling. I haven't watched any significant amount of WWE or AEW for that matter. I kind of know what's kind of going on. Our homie Danny Limelight is moving up the card. You know what I'm saying? They still got him regulated on Monday nights to AEW Dark on Mondays.
Yep.
But he just had a match with Kenny Omega, tag team match. It was a single match with Kenny Omega, and then I just saw him in there against
Moxley.
John Moxley. Hell, I even saw him doing a backwards flying forearm against Eddie Kingston. So again, he's moving up, rightfully so, man. Like I said, man, that dude. I mean, I'm glad he graced us. When he graces, man, because I think from a year from now, man, we ain't gonna be able to talk to him at all, man. He's so famous, but like he's definitely put in work for sure, man. Outside of that, like I said, I need to catch up on a lot. I'll probably start tonight and catch up on all my wrestling action. for sure.
Okay. On this day back 16 years ago, John, let me date you a little bit. 16 years ago today, Reggie Miller played his last game as a Pacer after an 18-year run, a loss to the Pistons. I was in the arena for that game. They should not have lost that series to the Pistons. I'm sorry. I'm still a little sour on that. They shouldn't have lost that series to Detroit in 05. Mm-hmm. But Reggie, 16 years ago today was his last game.
I'm glad Reggie Miller – there's an old war story about Kevin Garnett trying to recruit Reggie Miller out of retirement so that they wanted another shooter. They wanted to have Ray Allen and Reggie Miller. Could you imagine? You know what I'm saying? Reggie Miller in the Boston uniform and having Ray and having him and Ray Allen in a uniform. Reggie obviously declined, for his personal reasons, citing that, you know what I'm saying, he's a Pacer, and that's what he wants to be remembered as. Starting from, you know what I'm saying, when he started to the end of his career. I can't hate on that. I could imagine that was probably a real tempting offer to come and run with, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily be the person that has to hold her, you know what I'm saying, be the person to hold up the franchise every night. When mm-hmm. he's kind of coach and ring, I don't want to say ring chase, but you kind of coach. I mean, they still want him to hit the shots, right? But I'm kind of glad Reggie Miller never did play for another team. And mm-hmm. I know,
yeah.
I know this off season there's going to be a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying, like where do we turn to as far as leadership goes if they do go ahead and fire Nate Bjorkgren. I know me and you kind of talked about bring back Larry Bird. I know that might be kind of crazy to some folks, but like Larry Bird does bring some stability as far as how to run a franchise. Maybe they go back to Mr. Pacer Reggie Miller. And see and pick his brain, you know what I'm saying, and see what he kind of thinks, and maybe offer him some type of general manager duties or whatnot. So, but yeah, man, I'm glad he never did play for another franchise and ended his career with the Pacers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let me real quick. We got Celtics Nets on Saturday. I'm looking at the schedule for it.
Mm-hmm.
With Celtics and Nets, how much of a fighting shot do you give the Celtics here in this series?
Without Jaylen Brown, can they win one game? Maybe. Just because their guards can get after it on both ends of the court once they become engaged. Marcus Smart is as fiery sometimes as Westbrook emotionally. He can do some certain things offensively and defensively. Kemba cannot do anything defensively, I don't think. Which would be, you know what I'm saying, which is fine because he's playing against Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving ain't interested in defense either. So I expect a pretty good matchup there. It'll be interesting to see what can happen shot for shot between Jason Tatum and Kevin Durant. You know, we know Jason Tatum is very capable of putting up 50 points, if not even more. And we know that particular Celtics team, once they get embarrassed at some point during the game, they've known to come back and wipe away a 32-point lead. So I still think, of course, that the Nets are a better team, even with McFlurry. Even James Harden drinking McFlurry on the
island. Come on, man.
I still think they are a better team. Than cohesive unit than what Boston is right now. So I will give the Celtics at least one game that they'll win. They won't get swept, but I'll give the Celtics at least one game that they'll win.
Okay. We got 11 minutes left tonight, John. We'll do that way. We had three hours total this week on our shows. Yeah. You want to dive into any more on the Kwame Brown situation now?
Yeah, man, we can kind of talk about it just because, like, He Kwame Brown said some, like, if you can take all the explicit, you know, say all the bad words out of it and listen to it.
You don't have to.
Kwame Brown said some things from a basketball standpoint, with, you know what I'm saying, that makes sense. There's no reason why he would be, you know what I'm saying, who he was playing. And I know he played for a host of teams, whether it was Charlotte or Memphis or the Lakers or Washington. But general manager still brought him in. Scouts still scouted him and said he set screens well, or he rebounded well in certain situations, or maybe he didn't score 20. He does have some great games where he did score over 20 or 25 points, but it was just hit and miss, more missed than hit. But like I said, he still had staying power. What kind of, you know what I'm saying, gets kooky is that, you know what I'm saying, on that particular podcast, you know what I'm saying, they, and even in his retort, the Kwame Brown's retort, that they made things personal and everything, kind of a lot of TMZ and National Enquirer and, like, locker room, you know what I'm saying, smack talk kind of fell into place, and it became less about the basketball. It became less about what was actually happening. I mean, you're talking about something that happened 20 years ago. You know what I mean?
He went after Rachel Nichols.
He went after Rachel Nichols. He went after Jameel Hill because they made comments about it. And again, I know some folks don't particularly like.
Don't get me started on her.
Right, I know some folks don't particularly like Jameel Hill. Some folks don't like particularly like Steven Jackson. I didn't know, so I opened up a little bit of can of worms from the TMZ side. I didn't know Steven Jackson got his teeth knocked out when at the Club Rio shootout. You know what I'm saying? And that's what he said happened. That's what Kwame Brown said happened. You know what I mean?
Why would Steven Jackson give a shit about that?
Well, because it makes him look bad. Because Steven Jackson always has portrayed this tough guy attitude. Remember, he's also the guy that got suspended during the Detroit brawl. He's one of those guys as well. It wasn't just Ben Wallace up there. It wasn't just Ron Artest up there. Steven Jackson was in the middle of it too. So, but he's always kind of portrayed himself as a tough guy. And Matt Barnes himself has always portrayed himself as a tough guy. If you remember, you know what I'm saying, the ball fight
with
Kobe. Kobe didn't flinch or whatever. So, and then, you know,
and
of course.
Him and Derek Fisher.
Him and Derek Fisher. And then he's, you know, mentally tough. mentally tough, you know what I mean? I think all those guys, except for Gilbert, right? Mentally tough, I think all those guys have been. From a basketball standpoint, are you know what I'm saying, during their playing careers, I think a lot of times guys become brunt of jokes. And like I say, careers were made on making fun of Kwame Brown. Careers were made on making fun of Rosho Nesterovic. If you think about it, careers were made on making fun of Darko Milicic. You know what I mean? All those guys were like highly talented draft picks or guys came from Europe with high reps, and they didn't necessarily pan out. You know what I'm saying? They didn't necessarily turn into Dave Robson. They didn't necessarily pan out and turn into Michael Jordan or some other alpha-level player, but they all have long-lasting careers. It does make for good entertainment. It does make for good, you know what I'm saying, TV or YouTube talk or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of things kind of were aired out, Brandon. They had really nothing to do with the game of basketball or what kind of happens in between the lines. I said, Kwame Brown's tired of the BS. And he ain't. I don't think he's gonna stop it. Matt, before we came on,
he better not
Matt
call
Barnes,
it the GOAT.
Matt Barnes. Oh, he won't call it. Hey, there's third. But here's the thing, man. There's an article I was gonna float around, but I didn't.
Don't say he won't.
And it kind of put the nose. Like Kobe in an interview said, "Who was I supposed to pass to? Chris Mims, Kwame Brown." This is when he played with the Lakers. Those particular names. He said Smush Parker. So a lot of folks. Another friend of the program today. Kim Barlow put up a meme comparing Kwame Brown's numbers to Ben Wallace's, and like, though they averaged maybe about the same. The effort they put out was totally different. Again, careers were made on making fun of like what he was or what he wasn't. So now it's just the time for him to. He wanted to come out. He's not going to say nothing bad about Michael Jordan. He ain't going to say nothing bad about Kobe Bryant. If anybody says he didn't get it, if anybody, you know what I'm saying, says that Kwame Brown didn't play in a good offense or play for a good coach, he played for Phil Jackson. He played with Kobe. He played with a lot of great players. So your career is what it is. You know what I'm saying, there are a lot of times, man, you know, because you get drafted, you know what I'm saying, Sam Bowie got drafted ahead of Michael Jordan. He needs to say something. Today he can say something like, well, you know, I was a bad mofo coming out of Kentucky, but it just didn't happen for me in the NBA. And there you are. But, like, a lot of times, man, you know what I'm saying, reporters and even, like, now podcasters, you know what I'm saying, in order to make themselves look better or to give airtime or to come up with content, they'll come up with these old, you know what I'm saying, these old stories. So there you have it. But like I said, he was ready to give it back today, the last couple of days.
Yeah. John, I've got your next person to try to get into an interview with us on the show. You got to do some in the investigation to get this guy.
Smush Parker. Who you got, man?
Jamal Tinsley.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Where is he at? Is he somewhere back in New York? Where is he at?
I was just looking him up on Twitter a second ago.
I have to scour the underbellies to see where Jamal Tinsley is.
He probably has some interesting stories here.
Being the guy that got sent home because Larry Bird wouldn't deal with your crap, and Larry Bird's a player. Like,
easy now.
Everybody kind of knows this.
Easy now.
Larry Bird is
in case we get him on.
Oh, well, Larry Bird's a player. Well, listen, it is what it is, man. I mean, they had to drive my guy up. You know what I mean? To go play, he was that much of a bottle. But no, I see what I can do. See if we can find you. At least I can find out where he's at, and then we can kind of go from there.
Well, his Instagram is JATinsley, so his info and his email is jtinsleyfans@gmail.com.
Get Jamal on. If we can't get Jamal on before we get Travis Best on, I'll try to see if I can get both on.
Look, Travis Best has been one I wanted to talk for a while because him hit dribbling the air out of that basketball a few times and then firing up those threes. I appreciate that. And even hell, we could probably get Jeff Foster, I bet.
Ricky Foster, maybe if he's not around.
Or your
probably so.
I mean, we could probably get your boy because he ain't doing anything down in North Carolina. Psycho T.
Oh man, but wouldn't you want to talk to Psycho T? Great. Is he like one of the top 10 University of North Carolina players?
No.
I get it that it didn't necessarily fit. What? He ain't top 10?
No. Top 10 all time? No.
Man,
no.
We got to put a poll up.
We only got
top
2 minutes left,
time.
But the top 10?
I said in North Carolina. He's got to be top 10.
That's
North
what
Carolina.
I'm saying.
He's got to be top 10 in North Carolina.
Well, that's a story for another day.
Absolutely.
John, you want to wrap us up tonight?
Yeah, real short show tonight. There was too many other hot topics that we wanted to chime in on. I'm glad we were able to chime in on, man. Shout out to Tim Tebow and his efforts to make an NFL roster. I don't think it's going to happen.
He won't make
shout
it.
Out to, shout out to Tim Tebow. I know, too, you know, to D-Cop for calling in. I thought Fred Felder from the K-Fape Connection was going to call in. He probably thinks it's a two-hour show. It's not tonight, Fred. So when you listen to this, everybody hit up Fred. He's back on social media now. Everybody hit up Fred on Twitter on K-Fape Connection. Other than that, man, shout-out to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Shout-out to our other sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports. We'll be back next week with a two-hour show, bigger, better than ever. Outside of that, man, thanks, everybody, for listening.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.